We have all heard the phrase, looking out for number one. It's not a new motto. One book was written using the phrase. It's a book that shows how you are number one and what you can do to keep being number one. We remember running off the sports fields as kids or driving home on the school bus after a victory, holding up one finger and declaring, we are number one. In our Mark Gospel reading for this Sunday, on their way to Jerusalem, Jesus announces a second time that he is going there to suffer and die. The disciples, on the other hand, were busy waving their individual fingers among themselves, trying to figure out who was the greatest. I wonder how much time is lost each day by us trying to figure out how we are better than someone else, how this group is better than that group, and so on. When they reached Capernaum, Jesus asked the disciples what they were talking about during the walk. They were too embarrassed to answer. Jesus taught the opposite of the disciples' earthly concerns. For one to be first, they must be last, or servant to all. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who starts to be first, who wants to be first, must be the very last and the servant of all. How startling and puzzling that teaching must have been to them. This is upside down according to the world standards. A story is told that a young woman asked for an appointment with her pastor to talk with him about a besetting sin about which she was worried. When she saw him, she said, Pastor, I've become aware of a sin in my life which I cannot control. Every time I'm at church, I begin to look around at the other women, and I realize that I am the prettiest one in the whole congregation. None of the others can compare with my beauty. What can I do about this sin? The pastor replied, Mary, that's not a sin. That's just a mistake. The unchristian virtue of pride creeps in on all of us. Jesus' disciples weren't alone in this sin. Sometimes we are tempted to boast about how good we are. We think we are better than others. We work harder, we pray harder, we make more sacrifices than others, whatever it might be. We fail to see as the Apostle Paul saw, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Jesus provides the cure for our misguided pride. Mark writes, and Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a child and set him by him and said to them, whoever receives this child in my name receives me. Jesus used the child not because he was free from sin, but because this child was a picture of humility. There was nothing great this child had done yet for which to brag. And that's the point. Even when we think we've accomplished much, it is still by God's grace and the working of the Holy Spirit that we are made righteous. Jesus' mission, ministry, and self-sacrificing humility as our servant king is in such a contrast to the ambitious world me-firsters. Our closeness to God is seen in how we treat others. Illustratively, an example of this is shown by this event. No one could really say why he ran away, or perhaps he didn't, but was kicked out of the home by his father for something foolish that he said or did. Either way, Paco found himself wandering the streets of Madrid, Spain, with hopes of entering into a profession that would most likely get him killed, bullfighting. Those who train under a mentor have a good chance of surviving this profession, but Paco's memory of his mistakes and guilt over what happened blindly drove him to this one-way street to suicide. But that was the last thing his father wanted, which is why he tried something desperate. There was little to no chance that he would be able to find Paco by wandering the streets of Madrid, so instead, he put an advertisement in the local newspaper, El Liberal. The advertisement read, "Paco, meet me at the Hotel Montana at noon on Tuesday. All is forgiven. Love, Papa." Paco is such a common name in Spain that when the father went to the Hotel Montana, the next day at noon, there were 800 young men named Paco waiting for his father and waiting for the forgiveness they never thought was possible, quite comparable to the love of the father in the parable of the prodigal son. How many of us have felt like Paco? Maybe we carry a burden of guilt and shame over things we wish we had never said or wish we had never done. And now we wander the streets of loneliness and homelessness. Jesus did not condemn the disciples for wanting to be the greatest. Rather, he pointed them to what makes one great. Jesus said, "He who wants to be first must be the very last and the servant of all." There is no greater service we offer than to forgive one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Amen.